T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The checks are a little bit lighter. Who and what is to blame? I'm talking about your refund check. Hopefully not your paycheck. Hopefully those have been heftier, and that's one of the reasons. Jordana Paul, Dan Cook at the helm, that's one of the reasons. You may have been getting more take-home pay, which is one of the reasons your refund check, if you're getting one, is going to be lighter. But early results, like there's polling on this, which there isn't, Paul. Early results are showing that among early filers, the refunds are down 8.4%. Dan Cook is an early filer. He said his check is going to be about the same, Dan, about the same?
Well, no, my check is going to be significantly more, but that's because I was a full-time student in the past year, and you get all kinds of, you know, help with what you have to pay for college.
Because he's a student, but yeah. Remove the student deductions that you got.
It was pretty much even.
It was pretty much even. Okay, so for you, it didn't go down. Have you seen a heftier paycheck?
Yes.
Well,
I mean, heftier might be a little strong. I've noticed an uptick. Okay. Not, I wouldn't say it's a significant one, but yeah, the numbers changed.
So you're benefiting from the tax cuts?
I would say so, yes.
Yes. Other people are not.
Yeah. And again, in high tax states, and we qualify as a high tax state along with California and New York State and Massachusetts, one of the challenges is that there's a cap now of $10,000. Right. In terms of deductions, and that's for state, local tax, and property tax, and sales tax. You can't go over $10,000. So a lot of people are bumping up against that.
My property taxes are about over $12,000, so I will not be able to deduct.
And you live in a van down
two.
By the river.
A van, it's a problem.
It's amazing.
So
I don't know.
Feel
I don't
bad
know
for
why
the rest of you guys.
Tax so high, but
it's crazy. It's crazy. So, is this happening for you? Our phone number is 651-989-9226. Article in the Times. It was in the Strib too about people who are getting hit hard. If you are an early filer, what is your tax return looking like? I'll give you the example of the truck driver and the bookkeeper. They're 65 years old. They live in Indiana. She was disheartened to learn the news about how the rules would affect she and her husband. She says he's a truck driver. He's on the road roughly 5 days a week. They usually receive about $1,500 a year in a refund. That's what they usually get. This year, they're going to have to pay $400. They're going to have to owe money.
So one of our listeners makes the point, and I see the logic in this. Please make the point, Paul, that the issue is not how much the refund is, but how much you're paying in taxes. So if your overall tax rate has come down, maybe you're not getting as much of a refund back. But again, what's the bottom line? Are you still paying less in taxes than you were 2 years ago?
And you'd have to work that out. You'd have to figure that out. How much did you pay? You know, how much did you keep in your paycheck? And do you owe or are you getting a refund still?
And other people in the 3 o'clock hour, a lot of people were very adamant, Jordana, that you should work it out so that you get zero back.
I understand that, but that's really hard.
I know, but otherwise you're using the federal government as a forced savings plan. You're not getting any interest on that. They're keeping your money, playing with your money.
And we don't want them to do that either. But let's say you're getting $400 back. If you put that in a savings account, you would earn about a penny on that every month.
Yeah, the interest rates aren't great.
So you're not, and no one's investing $400 and seeing a return in 12 months.
And I also understand the logic that when it comes to the IRS,
I'm running scared, baby.
Well, you don't have to be scared. It's good to be a little paranoid, and you should probably err on the side of caution. You want to pay every penny you owe, and hopefully not a penny more, but you want to make sure that you're covered.
Exactly.
That you don't get the call from the IRS.
That you owe an exorbitant amount of money or any money, especially if you haven't budgeted for that. Yes, it would be great to be perfect. It would be a wash come April 15th. You'd be done. But it doesn't always work that way. And boy, the IRS scares the heck out of me. So I tend to over deduct.
And how much of this is because Minnesota does not have tax conformity like other states do? It was vetoed last year. And basically, our tax law doesn't line up with federal tax law. And so there's a mismatch.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be the source of a lot of confusion. I know a lot of accountants are working overtime, burning the midnight oil, trying to figure this out, trying to make the numbers work.
I'm still waiting for the index card. I want to be able to do my taxes on the back of an index card.
Well, it's very
card.
Simple. How much money did you make last year?
Yeah.
Mail it in.
Mm-hmm.
All of it. All of it.
That's not going to happen, and I'm not happy about that. I'm not happy about that. Good news for freelancers, though. Freelance workers have seen a benefit. They have gotten a nice tax benefit. They're newly qualified for a business income deduction, and I think that was part of the plan to – you know, freelance artists, freelance workers, people who don't work for a big company. Part of the plan was to benefit them. And some mm-hmm. of them are seeing a big deduction. But are you having sticker shock? I know it's early. We got some good play on this in the 3 o'clock hour. I don't know what my refund's going to be because I haven't attempted yet. Dan Cook is a good barometer. But Dan Cook is also he doesn't have kids to deduct. You have one job.
Mortgage.
You don't have a mortgage. Yeah. That's right. You don't have like freelance. You don't do freelance work,
nope.
right?
No, my taxes are absurdly simple.
They're simple, yeah, right. Wow. And the fact that you are a student this year helped mm-hmm. you enormously.
How does that work? What kind of a deduction do you get for being a student?
What you do is you get a form, I think it's a 1098-T from your institution, and you enter those numbers into the software, and the software says, here's your money.
Oh,
really?
Nice.
Yeah.
I don't know
what the percentages
easy.
Are. I don't know what the numbers
yeah, that's
are.
That's
pretty
easy.
You're able to I assume you're able to deduct your expenses minus any grants or scholarships that you receive.
Okay.
I used to be easy because I just had the one job, couple of kids. But, you know, handsome husband has a couple of businesses. He's an entrepreneur like you. So it gets us in the weeds.
Yeah.
Someone else has to do those taxes because I don't do math on the show. I don't do math in life. So that is not happening.
My taxes are a holy nightmare.
Because you have businesses.
Two businesses. And yeah. And there's basis from previous businesses and investments. And so I wish I could do it myself.
Mm-hmm.
But not in 10 lifetimes could I figure that out.
No, nobody wants that. We again, like you here and not in jail.
But again, when you think about it, oh, the refund check. Oh, I'm getting money back from the federal government. No. No, it's your money. It's your money.
It's
right?
not a gift.
It's not, a gift. It's always, you didn't win the lotto. It's your money.
It's always nice to get a check, though.
I get that.
Found money. That's how we look at it.
But in like my case, it's money that I wouldn't have gotten otherwise. It's money I wouldn't have gotten to keep otherwise because I got this additional stuff, right?
So they're incentivizing education.
They're incentivizing education or any
Which
other
makes
form
sense.
Of things. Right.
Sure.
So it's stuff that you would have, if you weren't, you know, if I wasn't in school or if you didn't have business expenses or you didn't have other things, that money the federal government would have kept. And now they're getting it. You are getting something back that you wouldn't otherwise.
You are.
Yeah.
You're getting
something
back.
People
yes.
that get to do those kinds of deductions.
That's
sure.
right.
Yeah.
So it's a little gift.
Right.
Dan, what are you going to do with your refund check?
Oh, I'm just going to blow it all in Vegas, I'm sure. I mean. No.
Vegas.
It's going right to his
student debt. It's servicing debt is exactly what
it's going to do.
Right
to his student loans. That's right. But again, it's nice to get it. It's nice to be able to take a little chunk out of that student loan. I hear you. It's a little surprise coming in the mail. It's also 519. When we get back, we didn't get nearly deep enough into the weeds on this tobacco bill cleared another legislative hurdle, meaning it's possible here in our state of Minnesota, statewide, you'll have to be 21 to purchase tobacco products. And yes, that means those vape pens, too. Are you saying, you know, it's about time. Let's just pull the trigger and make it all happen. Or no. Some of the cities have done it already. You down, I think, 33 cities in Minnesota.
23 cities and counties.
Me.
Right. The age is 21.
But
in many cases, you drive 2 minutes and it's 18. So
are we ready to go statewide? Let's talk next.
Oh, boy.
I'm cool with this. I think 21 years old to buy tobacco products across the state, I have no problem with that.
But
because I don't smoke tobacco.
and now the concern, of course, is vaping and younger people. And these devices like Juul, and there are others, but they look like little USB
mm-hmm.
drives.
Mm-hmm.
And they're easy to hide. Harder for teachers to spot, so mm-hmm. kids can sneak them in their backpacks, take them to school, you know, take a hit. It's like mainlining nicotine.
Right.
I thought a cigarette was a very efficient way to deliver nicotine. No.
Oh, really? You get more from the vapes?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And again, the marketing with with vaping is that, well, this is a smoking cessation tool. If you want to wean yourself off cigarettes, you know, here, try vaping. And yet it seems that vaping is addicting a whole new generation of
right.
mostly younger people.
Well, you're talking about people who weren't necessarily addicted to tobacco
right.
before. I mean, it still might be an effective tool for, you know, pack-a-day smokers who want to wean themselves off.
Possibly. But now with the vaping, you got all these flavors.
Yeah, they
you
do.
You know,
yeah.
vanilla and peach, and it's become, mm-hmm. it's like candy.
Right.
Candy high.
And again, it's completely, if that was the original goal, that's completely backfired.
Or buzz. More buzz, not a high.
Buzz, yeah. We're addicting a much younger
yeah.
Audience now, and that's bad. So 21 to buy it. Look, is it going to, when it was 18, 15-year-olds were still buying it. Is it going to stop at all? No. Is this a deterrent? Probably. Will they think twice about it? Maybe. You know, if it's 21, makes it the same as the drinking age. I don't know too many 15-year-olds or 16-year-olds that are walking into a liquor store trying to buy booze, although, and maybe they would try to buy tobacco if it remained at 18, because 16 sort of looks like 18. I have a 15-year-old girl. They're looking older and older
every
day.
Yeah, how did that happen? Right.
They're looking older and older. So again, is it a deterrent? Yes. Is it going to solve the problem? Absolutely not. But the fact that it's a mild deterrent, I'm all for it. If it helps.
And if somebody brings up the use case, all right, I'm 18, I can become a Marine. I can enlist to go into the Army, and you're telling me that I can't buy cigarettes. Mm-hmm. I'm an adult. Why can't I buy cigarettes at 18 if I can go to defend my country at 18?
Because I want your brain to form a little bit more so you can make a more informed decision. Your brain is more solid at 21 than
But
it
I have the freedom to make bad choices.
You do. And I guess, and I have the freedom or the responsibility to pay for your bad choices when you are costing the healthcare system a lot of money.
And people pushed back in the 3 o'clock hour and said, Paul and Jor, what about diabetes? What about sugar? What about alcohol?
Yeah, these are all people
so,
making bad choices.
You know, are we demonizing smokers mm-hmm. by increasing
tobacco's? But tobacco and vape, things like this, are already a regulated substance.
Yeah,
sugar isn't a regulated substance now. I mean, it's if you want to go there, we can have that discussion. But I don't equate the two. Tobacco and alcohol are regulated substances. It's a little different than
if you
sugar.
Could combine sugar with nicotine.
That would be great.
Oh.
Stop it. Doug's in Lakeville. Jump in here, Doug. What do you think? 21? Great idea? Terrible idea?
Well, it surprises me that Minnesota in the first place would agree to lose tax revenue on people smoking. Mm. That surprises me to begin with. Mm. But, you know, I don't know if they're going to increase taxes somewhere else to make up the difference. That's what worries me.
We have a surplus, though. Right? Don't we still have a budget surplus? I think we kind of do. I don't think it went anywhere. So
well, that's our money.
Yeah, that's true. But I guess maybe they're saying out loud to everybody, we're prioritizing what they feel health, that they're prioritizing health over tax revenue.
Yeah, I'm thinking that it's not taxation without representation is what Minnesota is great at.
Well, but what are they taxing? They're not taxing anything else yet.
No, everything else they tax us, voted all behind closed doors and in meetings we're not involved with, but I think they're going to make taxes on something else to make up the revenue.
All right. Are they going to tax something else to make up the revenue? That would be a good thing to ask the House Health and Human Services Policy Committee, who just approved House File 331, which would advance the legislation to make it 21.
One of our listeners, Jor, says, equating vaping to cigarettes was the dumbest propaganda. Vaping saves lives.
See, that's obviously somebody who was addicted, who is vaping, and maybe it's helping wean them off cigarettes. And that's great. And if that's the purpose of vaping, great. But clearly vaping is being used by younger kids who've never had a cigarette in their life, and this is a new and fun way to get some nicotine.
But do we know that vaping is absolutely safe? I mean, you're getting,
I don't know,
you're getting a high concentration of nicotine. But there's other stuff
sure.
that you're inhaling.
And it's so new. Nobody knows anything yet. They thought they used to prescribe cigarettes for pregnant women back in the day to calm them down.
Doctors, right. Doctors used to recommend Camels back in the 60s.
Have
yeah, I'm a doctor and I smoke Camels.
Calm your nerves.
But again, with vaping, we don't know what we don't know.
Good for the baby.
I'm worried in 2-3 years. Hey, you realize what was in that vaping? You thought it was harmless vapor. Well, turns out maybe it wasn't so harmless. Oof.
No, we've been duped before. Even the government, you know, don't eat fat, don't eat eggs, don't eat salt. I mean, these are government recommendations. They've screwed it up so badly in the past that you really don't, you don't ever know. You don't. What's up, Tom? What do you think about this 21?
Oh, I don't agree with it because it's not going to do anything. Kids right now that are 13, 14 are getting liquor with no problem. What's going to stop them from getting vaping? I mean, they get cigarettes. They get cigars, the flavored cigars. They get all this stuff, and
right,
they're 13, 14 years old.
At 13 and 14, though, I don't think you can walk into a liquor store and buy liquor.
No, but they got free access to it.
Well, in their parents' liquor cabinets.
Well, their parents, their friends. I mean, I know 14-year-olds that got 20 and 21-year-old friends.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Tom. Again, it's not going to solve the problem. It's not going to. It's not a solution. It's a deterrent. And a kid who wants to get anything is going to get it. You can make the age 100, as was proposed
in Hawaii. Yes.
Yeah, that was an actual proposal. But if a kid who's 13 wants to get their hands on it, they're going
they're
to.
They're
going to
get it.
But,
you make it a little bit harder. You make it a higher rung for them to reach
and no,
to get it.
That's right. And
so some kids won't be able to do it.
That's right. Some kids won't.
But if kids, you know, have enough desire, I think the caller was right. They're going to find a way.
Anybody's going to get anything. You get opioids. Yeah. You could get cocaine.
I know that.
You can get anything. So saying we shouldn't do it because it's not going to be the total solution, I think that's a little short-sighted. Bill's in his car. Jump in, Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Hey. Say they can keep it whatever age that they want, but what they actually should do then is if you're going to smoke, then they should. Those people should be put in their own health plan group. Instead of
right,
that's interesting.
So we're not subsidizing them.
That's interesting. Correct,
and I mean everybody wants to be healthy. And if you don't want, you know, if that's a choice you make, then we should not have to, pay for the health, because that's what happens.
That is what happens.
That's what drives up the health cost. The same, with drinking also. Those addictions and all
sure.
that kind of stuff.
Sure.
You know, they should be in their own health pool then.
Interesting call, Bill. Thank
yeah.
you. Appreciate it.
Good point.
When we get back, should fraternities admit women? I said fraternities, not sororities. Well, three women at Yale University are suing to make that happen. Let's talk next.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
So were you in a sorority?
AEFI. AEFI. Alpha Epsilon Phi.
Wait a second. Wi-Fi?
AEFI.
AEFI?
Alpha Epsilon Phi, yes.
What is that, a journalism? Is that a journalism thing?
No. It's a legitimate sorority all over the country. I can still recite the Greek alphabet, which we had to learn in my pledge class. One of the things you have to do to become a
wow.
sister.
Wow.
I still have my pin. I have my AEFI pin. I don't know if I have my pledge pin, but I know I have my AEFI pin. And I still remember some of the stuff. I don't think we had a secret handshake or anything. But I had a great time when I was in a sorority at Syracuse University. So this story was very interesting to me. Three female students are suing Yale University and 9 of its fraternities, asking a federal court to force fraternities to accept women as members. Now, I've been to a fraternity house. It smells really bad. Really bad.
Well, it smells like
bad
beer.
At night, it smells and yeah. dirty boys. You're all beasts.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
And my sorority house was quite lovely.
Yeah.
We had a house mother. We had a chef.
Really?
It's very lovely.
And it smelled like
Girls, like some good smelling, clean girls.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, point of the matter is not that you fraternity boys probably need to take a shower. You're fine. I wouldn't wanted to have been in a fraternity because I was quite satisfied with my sorority. Now, the girls are taking Yale to court because they say the only social life on the Yale campus is Greek. If you want to go to a party, you have to go to a fraternity house. And at those fraternity house, female undergraduates risk sexual harassment and assault by attending fraternity events. So why do you want to go if you might risk sexual assault? They say that's the only place to go and for a party. I don't know what the heck is going on at Yale that they can't find a house party or a dorm party or a bar party or a, you know, I don't know, a party.
Yeah, I'm not sure I agree with the premise that the only social life is at these fraternities.
But we don't go to school there. We were definitely not smart enough.
You know, definitely not. They, oh, God, no.
Okay, so they're at Yale. So, but the whole point of the lawsuit, and I think their probably ultimate goal is not necessarily to be involved in the fraternity. When they were questioned on this, they said banning fraternities isn't counter to our objectives. So they either want them banned or they want them to be the culture change.
Integrated.
They want a shift in culture.
But if women are members of a fraternity, maybe they can turn around the culture from within.
Yes. And they filed the lawsuit because they are, I guess, having trouble changing the culture from the outside. So they say, if you're forced to let women in, we can change the culture from the inside. And legally, they might have more of a leg to stand on than just saying, hey, come on, change your culture, because this is not feasible for
But isn't the best thing for women to do is just not go to the frat parties?
But then they say that's the only place for parties. But my experience with fraternity boys is that they want to be where the girls are. So if you go have your own party at somebody else's house or a dorm, I mean, don't you assume that fraternity boys would come?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And these are our rules.
Either way, the lawsuit is ensuing at Yale University. So should women be allowed in fraternities? I say no, because I like the separation. Because if men, if women are allowed in fraternities, then they're going to have men in sororities. And quite frankly, I don't want the stinky boys in the sorority house. The female bonding that went on in my sorority was wonderful. And I mean, I still talk to some of my sorority sisters, and I don't, I wouldn't want them living in the house with me. I didn't live in my house, but if I were to live in the sorority house, I wouldn't want them living in the house with me.
I'm getting a very strong vibe that, that you hung out with a lot of stinky boys growing up. And there's a whole segment there.
I tell you, I'm all really, when you walk into a fraternity house, and maybe it's different in the time that I graduated from college, but boy, they stink. It stinks like a bar. It stinks like beer. You know, there's beer on the floor. There's dirty clothes everywhere. They probably don't change their sheets. I mean, you know what it's like to be a 19-year-old boy with no parents or
no
authority?
Supervision.
Right. Authority figures around.
It's kind of, it's Animal House.
Right. Who's cleaning that house?
I rush Delta Chi and Zeta Psi and Tappa Keg of beer. That was my, didn't get into any of those. But look, I find it odd that, that women would want to be admitted to these fraternities.
I wouldn't want to join. I don't want to go through their pledging. I don't want to eat a live goldfish. Sorry, PETA. That's kind of what they do.
651-989-9226. Do you have a strong opinion one way or another?
The pledging. My first husband was in a fraternity, and he the pledge stories that he would tell were crazy. I mean, thank God I didn't have to go through it, but they were traumatic.
And again, does this set a precedent? If this goes to court and a local judge says, yes, fraternities, you have to admit women. Now, does that go both ways? Where now suddenly men have to be admitted to sororities?
It will go that way. And then that'll be the end of Greek life on campus, which, look, maybe might not be such a bad idea.
That's what they're trying to
do. And it might
do.
Not be a bad idea because at Yale, by the way, one fraternity had a sign reading, "We love Yale sluts," and they posed for a photo outside of the Women's Center. Another fraternity was banned after pledges reported parading around and chanting, "No means yes." And a third fraternity faced allegations of turning away women of color because they wanted white girls only. I mean, these fraternities clearly have some issues going on, and they need a culture shift. I don't know if that culture shift is admitting women.
So the Me Too movement has brought down people like Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, rightfully so.
Bill Cosby.
Rightfully so.
Right.
And are they going to bring down
Les Moonves? Yeah, and our fraternities next. Is Greek life next?
Mike's in Minneapolis. Jump in, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
You know, I don't know why everybody's got their panties in a bunch about this, but it's like, when is it? Is it the job of the courts to say that you have to invite me to your party? That's ludicrous. You know, if you can't get a date, that's your problem.
Right.
And they're not going to be able to change it from within. It's, I mean, look at the military. Sexual assault is an epidemic. and it's not going away.
But what's the solution then, Mike? I mean, these girls are trying to create a solution.
They need to just go and have their own parties.
I think he's right.
Everybody's trying to use the courts just to satisfy their shortcomings or their disappointments in life, and that is just, it's gone too far.
Good call, Mike. Appreciate
it. Good point.
And that's, I think Mike's onto something. If the boys want to be where the girls are, girls, go have your own parties. And if, unless you behave, you don't get to come to our party.
I think all it would take for me is being groped once, and I probably
done.
Wouldn't show up a second time, and I would tell my friends and say, avoid this mm-hmm. fraternity like the plague. So you can't keep encouraging bad behavior.
John's in Minneapolis. Jump in, John.
How are you today?
Hello,
hey,
sir.
Hey, John. Well, Jordana's a hot mess.
Well, you know, yeah. Jordana, I got to tell you this right now, okay? Would you rather have those stinky boys in a co-ed facility?
No.
On their own?
No, so, I don't want them in my sorority house. I do not.
Okay, 20-year-old guys stink. Embrace it, all right? We don't get cleaned up until we get married.
True. Good point.
And even then, I mean,
yeah.
Even then, it's iffy. What I wanted to talk about was the co-ed fraternities, and really what it boils to is some schools are successful in getting it to happen, but most of them fall back on Title IX, and I say this from my time as an executive member of our national fraternity. You know, if there is no money involved, now here's where it gets kind of tricky. If the university provides housing or facilities for the fraternity or sorority, then they can compel it because, in effect, they're being funded or supported by the school and can be forced to integrate.
Right.
Now, there's all kinds of it depends arguments. I don't want to sound like a lawyer. But generally, what I've seen in a lot of different schools is the fraternities just go underground.
Yes.
And the school loses any control over it then.
Mm-hmm. And then it's a free-for-all.
Exactly. Right now, with recognition from the school can stipulate behaviors and expectations of the students and tie that to their participation in the school. Yeah. You know, it may seem like a throwback to years ago. And fraternities developed as an extended family because we didn't have things like suitcase colleges where you could be home on the weekend. You were sent away.
Right. Jay, John, I have a question before we let you go. In your
sure.
fraternity, you said you were the executive director. Obviously, you were involved. Did you have issues with sexual assault, and how did you deal with that?
We did have that. What we would typically do is the member was immediately suspended pending the outcome of an inquiry by the school or by police.
Okay.
And depending on the action taken, there was suspension from the fraternity or expulsion. We had no one that was convicted in the schools that the chapters that I oversaw of sexual abuse or assault.
John, this was a good call. I have to cut you off because we're out of time. But that was a good call. I thought that was very enlightening, and I'm glad he gave
Thank
us
you,
his
John.
Expertise. Jeannie, we got a minute for you. Jump in here.
Hi. I was in a sorority, and I think this is just such a stupid idea. Don't they have sororities at Yale? Or if not, form some. And you can just accomplish the same thing, only have sororities.
Yeah, that's what I hear you, Jeannie. That's what I'm saying. You have sororities, but they're talking about having parties and mixers and things like that. And if they're out of hand, don't go or have your own party.
You're saying invite the guys to the sororities for parties.
Mm-hmm. And they have to behave.
But isn't there still going to be bad behavior, especially when alcohol is involved?
Then you can ban that fraternity. You can look, the problem of sexual assault is widespread and it's a huge problem. And I am an advocate for women's rights and women coming forward and women being protected on all
right.
costs. You know, it's the men who need to stop sexually assaulting anybody. But I don't know that co-ed fraternities are the solution.
Yeah. But again, younger people, 20-year-olds, 22-year-olds, alcohol in one spot. I mean, it's basically a petri dish for bad decisions.
that's on the men. They got to stop raping and sexually assaulting people. I know that.
I know that.
Yeah.
But a lot of people use alcohol as sort of the pass. Well, you know, I wasn't thinking clearly.
Don't do that. Okay.
All right. 5:49, Wixon Jewelers time. Did you know Wixon will buy your pre-owned watch? Stop by today for a free consultation with one of their expert watch appraisers.
You do love your dogs, don't you? I wouldn't mind having one, honestly, but I don't have any time. I don't have time. How would I look walking a dog on the White House lawn? Would that be better, right? Sort of not for, I don't know. It doesn't, I don't feel good. Feels a little phony to me. A lot of people say, oh, you should get a dog. Why? It's good politically. I said, look, that's not the relationship I have with my people.
You know, I love it when he goes off on a tangent.
Oh, that was a tangent.
And goes off the teleprompter and just speaks his mind. And this is why his fans, his base, like him, because of those kinds of off-the-cuff, spontaneous moments. Why doesn't the president have a dog?
Why not?
It would make him more cuddly, more lovable. But I don't think he wants to be cuddly and lovable.
Most other presidents did have dogs. But obviously the president, our current president, is not getting one. But if he did get a pet, what should it be? We thought deeply about this before the show. I guess we had a lot of free time before the show. We were just goofing off. And Dan Cook put up a poll and gave you some options. And we have some of the results.
Yeah, the four choices were, should he get a cat? Solid American pet.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
Should he get some fish? Pretty easy to take care of. Mm-hmm. Should he get a gecko?
Yeah.
Or, because we love Game of Thrones, should he get a direwolf?
Direwolf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with nearly 100 votes in so far, people think he should get a direwolf.
Direwolf.
Cat, by far the loser of the four.
Really? Any votes for cat?
Maybe there were some votes for cat, yeah. But not very many.
Well, yeah, a cat would be
silly. Direwolf, it needs to be something unconventional.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, it fits his personality. I mean, mm-hmm. He doesn't mind going after people. Fish finished second with 31% of the vote, and Gecko was third with 23%.
I voted for fish because I think they're very soothing. We could get him a nice aquarium.
Yeah, but he's not going to walk around with a
goldfish
container, really?
Keep it in the Oval Office. Yeah. When he gets stressed or thinks about tweeting, he could look at it.
He could just swallow
some yoga
one.
Breathing.
If he's having a bad day, just...
If he did get a pet, somebody would have to create a Twitter account for it.
That's right.
That would be pretty fantastic.
And now that you don't have the Mars rover, you could follow
that one.
I'm
very disappointed about that.
I know. You could follow that one. So you can still chime in, Dan, at the Twitter account. Is it at Dan Cook?
At Dan Cook, WCCO, or if you follow WCCO Radio Twitter account, I retweeted it there. So you can follow
And it's
there.
On our Paul and Jordana Facebook page where there's a link to it. So you can jump in there. But we, since of course, we were talking about this during the show, we looked at the other presidents and almost... Well, look, the research at least here goes back to 1909.
They all had dogs.
Yeah. 1909 when Teddy Roosevelt's dogs, you know, a bull terrier named Pete, a mixed breed named Skip, Manchu was the first daughter, Alice's, Pekingese. I mean, they all have a long history.
And of course, Richard Nixon, Checkers. Who can forget Checkers?
Coming up tomorrow, Governor Walz on the pipeline.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.